There's something going on around here that just don't add up.
Hey, everybody. Hey, welcome back. Welcome back to the show. This is episode 499. 499 of the Two Dumb Yinzers. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, Mike. Welcome back, Derpy.
What?
Yeah.
Woohoo.
We are 2 days, guys. 2 days from Super Bowl Sunday.
I can't wait.
This is the day that everybody waits for. No matter if it's your team, if it's not your team, what's going on, it doesn't matter. Super Bowl Sunday is the day that all Americans celebrate. The day that all Americans eat wings. And the day that all Americans watch $5 million 30-second commercials. But most importantly, there's a resolve at the end of that night because we will know who the Super Bowl of this year's football season was. I'm not even sure who the real underdog and who the real favorite is. I'm going to be honest with you.
I think there is no underdog.
I don't either. I think this is the most one of the most even Super Bowls in a long time, but for different reasons.
Yeah. I think like sorry to interrupt, but like the award ceremony, like Keegan said, he's like, talk about the overdogs. You know, you got the number one offense, number one defense, and it feels like both going at it.
Good morning, Ron on the board. And come Sunday night, we will be watching and we will see if the Chiefs cement their spot as a is the team of the 2020s.
Yeah.
Or can San Francisco finally get that one elusive Super Bowl since they got their fifth back in 1995. It feels a lot like when the Steelers were trying to get that one for the thumb.
Yeah.
If they get this fifth one, they'll have six. They'll be tied with Pittsburgh and New England.
But it's been 30-some years.
I don't want them to win.
Well, me either. I don't. Like, I like a lot of their players. I'd like to see some of their players win, but I don't want the organization to win.
No. If they could win and give the the Super Bowl trophy to somebody else, I'd be fine with that.
Me too.
But, guys, we do have a lot to come over today. There was a award show last night. I don't know if anybody watched this, but there's a lot that went down and a lot to be said about the award ceremony last night for the NFL. The National Fixed League had transferred over to CBS on Thursday night to hand out their yearly awards. And that's what it was. It was more of the garbage that we've seen over the past two or three seasons in the NFL. And we're going to explain why. A lot of these were very bad selections.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is episode 499, everybody. Welcome. Welcome back.
Welcome. One more episode. Next episode, Ryan. Episode 500.
If we don't die somewhere
in the future. If we don't die, I think we're both like, are you feeling it too?
What, like death?
Sickness? Like a sickness?
No.
I am. I'm feeling it. I feel like I'm about to just collapse.
Derpy will just take over.
You know what? That's how I'm okay with that today, Derpy. If you just want to take over for me, go right ahead. I'm dying.
Regarding this award ceremony last night, guys, was it just me, or did it feel like the year of the participation trophies for the Cleveland Browns?
It did.
They felt bad for this team. And part of creating this parity, this, you know, making everybody equal in the NFL, like, we got to give Brown some awards too.
Yeah, you know, they've been what, the preseason, the Super Bowl champions for the past 3 years. They haven't been able to do anything. Now, you know what, we're going to make them the postseason champions, even though they haven't done anything. I saw someone online say that, like, they've been the preseason champs, now they're going to be the postseason champs. Everything in the middle doesn't count for the Browns anymore.
And people are going to tune in and they're going to say, oh, another couple of Yinzers that are salty because the Browns accomplished some things. But I'm going to explain to you, and I'll explain to you in depth why this didn't pan out. And it really made no sense at all. And what happened last night, again, we're going to talk about this. We'll get a little bit more into the Super Bowl later on in the show. My beef is this. Listen, guys, you would have thought that the Browns just had the most amazing season ever. Mm-hmm. It breaks down like this. The Browns literally finished one game ahead of a pretty average Steeler team.
Yeah.
Some would argue that this team was a little, you know, come on. They finished one game better than a pretty average Steeler team. And they finished with the same amount of playoff wins this year. Is that average mm-hmm. Steeler team, where the average Steeler team was able to keep their game closer with the Buffalo Bills than the Cleveland Browns did with the Houston Texans, who got washed.
They got destroyed. Best defense in the league got destroyed.
You know, it really, again, it's not saltiness. If this was any other team and this had happened, I would have the same exact opinion.
Yeah.
And if I wasn't a Steeler fan, because here's the thing, nobody gives a shit about Cleveland. That's what people in Cleveland don't understand. People in Pittsburgh don't give a shit about you. You were terrible from the beginning of the Super Bowl mm-hmm. era. You're terrible now. Mm-hmm. You literally took 37 seasons to finish one game ahead of the Steelers. To finally finish ahead of the Steelers, almost four decades it took this team. And they don't realize that nobody gives a shit. They're nothing. The Browns are nothing. They're nothing.
They are. They
literally never accomplished anything. In you know, in the way they treat every single Steeler game like it's a Super Bowl.
Yep, exactly.
And they should be embarrassed. They should really pair themselves up with a rival like the Cardinals or something, because it just isn't a rivalry. No. And then they went away, and mm-hmm. then they came back, and then they stunk again. And again, 37 years later, they finally finish ahead of the Steelers, one game ahead of an average Steeler team at best, winning the same amount of playoff games as the Steelers won.
Yeah.
And they feel that they're very deserving of all these awards. And again, we'll go through every award, and I'll tell you exactly why they're not.
And like this Browns team, you know, they should be winning a whole hell of a lot for, you know, I've had how many top 10 picks, how many top 5 draft picks they've had year over year over year. You've been that bad for so long. You should at some point be a dominant team.
Good morning to Ralph on the board.
Morning, Ralph.
All right, let's get into this. Right off the top, let's not waste any time. Let's hop into the MVP. Lamar Jackson, y'all knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. Everybody knew it was coming. They weren't going to give this to anybody else. I would have liked to see a little bit more in the playoffs out of Lamar Jackson, because he pretty much went into the playoffs and shit the bed as well. I thought there was players that were more valuable this season. I didn't feel that he even had his best season. But you know what? It is what it is. And it really felt to me like, you know, at the end of the day, there was a lot of, you know, it was in a way celebrating the AFC North, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because
were the best division in football.
Because the MVP is from our division. The couple Coach of things of the that the Steelers did was, you know, we were involved. Yeah. And then the Browns, the Bengals, of course, were left out again. They got nothing.
Good. At least one of the Ohio teams got
nothing. That's who Cleveland should focus on being a rival with.
That's your rival.
Again, the Browns are nothing. They're nothing. Yeah, they've never been nothing. They're never going to be nothing.
No.
And if you're going to sit there and wave a trophy that a guy didn't even deserve in front of us as Steeler fans, it's crazy. The Browns are nothing. But let me continue. So Lamar Jackson did win the MVP. All right, we seen that coming. Whatever. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Derpy, your man.
Yes, sir.
Stroud. Does anybody have any complaints about that? See, this is an award that I think was thoroughly won correct. I think that they picked this right. And I'm not going to sit here and complain about the guys that picked awards. I'm going to tell you why the ones that did get the awards don't deserve them when they don't deserve it. I'm going to tell you right off the top, C.J. Stroud deserved Offensive Rookie of the Year. This kid was amazing. Amazing. As a rookie to come out and do what he did and put the mm-hmm. numbers up that he did and go into the playoffs and win football games as he did. These are the kind of guys that should win awards.
Yeah, it was the best rookie season out of a quarterback we've seen since Ben Roethlisberger. It was that good. Like we said the other day, like him or Puka Nacua, you can't go wrong picking either of these two. And they were the two best offensive rookies. Puka broke a lot of records, but you know, it is a quarterback-driven league, and CJ Stroud was drafted to what, the second worst team in the NFL, and he took them into the playoffs. Well deserved.
If the Ravens didn't have this defense that they had, and they win, you know, three quarters of the games that they won, would Lamar Jackson still be the MVP? I don't think so. I don't think so.
You could have made a case for Dak.
No, God, no.
Oh, Dak, come on.
No. For me,
he had better stats than Lamar, though, in the regular season.
Defensive rookie of the year, guys, staying on the Houston Texans. Now, this team is a team that I could say they did achieve some things. And Will Anderson Jr. winning the defensive rookie of the year, I thought was correct. There was other guys you could have made the argument for, and I think there's other guys that did very well. But at the end of the day, when you tell me that Will Anderson Jr. won the defensive rookie of the year, I'm totally fine with that. Good for him. Congratulations. Yeah,
he deserved it. Like him, a couple of the other guys could have, like two or three other guys, you know, you had an argument for either way. But yeah, well deserved for him. And that Houston team's looking bright.
Offensive player of the year, Christian McCaffrey. I feel that he could have been the MVP.
Yeah.
Because he was very. Okay, let's just stick with what it is. He won the offensive player of the year. I'm okay with that. I think that that's the right call. But again, I think that he could have also been in the race for the MVP. However, I see what the league is doing. Once you look at the results of what happened last night, you could see what the league is doing, and they're kind of they're fairly passing out awards, because I think that it's obvious that some of these awards are total bullshit. Let me continue. The FedEx and ground players of the game of the year, I'm sorry, Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey. You know, okay, these guys are in the playoffs. They do what they do every week, week in, week out. Purdy hits the nice passes. McCaffrey does what he does on the ground.
Yep.
That's a good award. It's it is
best running back in the league.
The Art Rooney Sportsman of the Year Award is who I believe should have been somewhere in the talks of the Defensive Player of the Year Award. However, he wasn't even brought up with the amount of tackles that he had. The Art Rooney Sportsman of the Year Award goes to Bobby Wagner. Yeah. He could have been a Steeler this year, and I would have been very fine with that, because he's not injury-prone guy. He's very productive week in, week out. There's not a week that this guy takes off. He's always a top linebacker in the NFL. If we could have pulled him this year, I would have been thrilled to death. But Bobby Wagner wins the Art Rooney Sportsman of the Year.
Celebration. I've always liked Bobby Wagner.
Celebration of the Year, Tommy DeVito. With his celebration of his Italian heritage-inspired celebration during his run in New York. Oh, there's not too many other guys out there. I mean, you know, come on. If you're looking
You know, they had a shoehorn DeVito in there.
Yeah. I think they just made that up for him.
I think so, too. Oh, yeah. And they would get his agent there, too.
Moment of the year was a play in Week 17 where CeeDee Lamb catches a 91-yard touchdown reception from Dak Prescott against the Lions in a play that Dak should have been sacked. They showed the play. It's a good play. Yeah. But again, consistent with
it involves the Cowboys, so I don't care.
And again, it's consistent with the rest of this awards ceremony. I there's a lot of wiggle room this year.
Yeah.
This one is one against me, guys. Damar Hamlin, who had 8 more first place votes than Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco says he would actually vote for Damar Hamlin.
Yeah.
And I honestly feel that if that situation with Hamlin was more fresh and it just happened, he would have won this category with ease.
Yeah.
However, it was last year. People were kind of, you know, they kind of have it behind them. They forgot about it. And everyone looks at Joe Flacco just being this older quarterback who's been out of the league for a small period of time, comes back to a team and is able to have a little success on a team that was having general success. So, again, I'm not real sure what the big hang-up on the comeback is by him. I feel that a couple other of the guys that are even on the list had a better comeback story
than Joe
Flacco did.
His knee was destroyed, and he came back.
But, again, this very much feels like the Feel Bad for the Browns Awards.
Yeah.
And, you know, and once that theme took over the show, you felt it, and you knew that it was coming. And even TJ, you know, TJ's he didn't even show up because he knew that he was getting screwed.
He was
prior to the awards ceremony. He says, quote on his Twitter, he says, "It's nothing that I'm not used to." So he knew it was coming. Come on. I was gonna ask you, was there any real surprises during this? But there was a couple real surprises, and we will talk about them here.
It's the comeback play of the year is about literally coming back from something, overcoming something, and dying on the field. And yeah, coming back and only playing
that trumps
a handful
everything.
Of six plays. Yeah, that trumps everything. And if you don't think that means something, that says a lot about you.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just don't get it. You know, he died
if you
on the
feel
field.
That Joe Flacco deserved to win the comeback player of the award over DeMar Hamlin, that speaks volumes about you. Take a moment, look in the mirror, and try to figure it out because there's something off there. Najee Harris wins the Angry Runner of the Year award. I like this.
Was it just for one run? Was it the one against Seattle where he just destroyed?
Yeah.
What's his name?
And they basically had the other guys had basically the same footage. You know, they had tack or they had runs. Yeah. They pretty much did that as well.
Yeah.
But it, you know what? Najee's was beastie, and it wasn't when he was running out of bounds as the other guys were. Like one was a dude was out of bounds, and he made the Najee's was the best. He should have won that.
You know, at least we won it. We got two. We got two out of the awards.
It's something.
Hey, it's something we got. Hey, we got
defensive player of the year, guys.
Oh God, this one right here.
Listen, this is the Browns' first defensive player of the year award ever, and the guy managed to do it with 33 tackles. 33 tackles in an NFL season, and he manages to win NFL defensive player of the year award.
Hey, he
with
had
guys out there that are averaging
sacks.
with guys averaging over 10 tackles a play in this league.
Yep.
But boy, can he sure put a pressure on.
He can almost get to the quarterback. He can almost get to the quarterback.
If there was an award, and there is, for almost getting to the quarterback, Myles Garrett won it last night.
He did.
And let me explain a little bit more about my non-bias. I think they're nothing. I don't have a bias against the Browns. I don't have a hate toward listen. This guy, if he played on any other team, let's see if he played for the Seahawks, Myles Garrett. And he would take the piece of equipment that's to protect the quarterback's head, you know, the most protected position in the league, and you take his helmet off, and you smash him over the head with it. And then, when questioned about it, you say, I did it because he called me the N-word, and then it comes back around that that never happened.
Uh-huh. I'd still hate you.
This is why people don't like this guy. And add that up with the facts that his numbers don't equal the guys, the guys that are above him, and he still wins the award. This is why they're nothing. Again, this Cleveland Browns team won one more game this year than an average Steeler team, average at best. They had the same amount of playoff wins this year as the Pittsburgh Steelers. This was the feel good for the feel bad for the Browns participation award ceremony. Convince me otherwise, and again, we still have more arguments to go.
Yeah, that was it. Like, he had 42 total tackles this year. 42. That's one less than Trey Hendrickson, and no one's talking about Trey Hendrickson as one of the elite edge rushers, defensive ends in the league. And Trey had more sacks than Myles Garrett. You know, those 42 tackles, Max Crosby had 90. Max 90, and they play the same position. Max Crosby had a half sack more than Myles Garrett. You mean to tell me that he was more deserving of the award than Max Crosby? Why? Because of some made-up pass rush win rate stat that PFF and ESPN can't agree on what a win is because they different percentages everywhere. They're made-up stats. That's what he won on, were made-up stats. That's, you know, there's
– He did so what many... shouldn't have won this award.
No,
and I'm going to lay that out here. Max Crosby, anybody that's listening to the show, anybody that's watching, anybody that's going to watch, I don't think T.J. Watt. You know, he did a very he had a feat. Yeah. He won. He got more sacks than anybody again this year.
Yeah, that it wasn't be for that.
It wasn't a record amount of sacks. It wasn't like it was. You know, the other year when he had 22 and a half, he won the Deacon Jones Award and he got. He became the 3-time sack king. The Steelers. Are 1-11 when he doesn't play. So I mean, there are some things that you could argue for TJ, but I don't think he was the defensive MVP either. I think it's somebody who's putting up 10 plus tackles a season. Somebody that has, and if you're looking at pretty numbers, you also have to look at a guy that has 6-7 interceptions. You also have to look at other things. The fact that Myles Garrett was shoved down our throat from week one of the season should speak volumes.
It was like a lifetime achievement award this year for him. Because, like, you want to talk about, like, someone like Deron Bland. He had 9 interceptions, and 5 of them were pick 6 touchdowns. Why
Come
wasn't
on.
he up there in the talks of one of the best?
What you just said is way better than what Myles Garrett accomplished.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you said, Bobby Wagner, 183 tackles. Zaire Franklin, 179. Why weren't they up there in the conversation? It seems like a middle linebacker won't win it again unless they're someone like Ray Lewis. But I think Ray Lewis now would have a hard time winning Defensive Player of the Year because everyone wants to look at sacks. It's now the sack award winner.
It is, and they should make it a separate award because it's ridiculous that they based the whole Defensive Player of the Year, the person that was the best Defensive Player of the Year, on the amount of sacks that somebody had.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, like, even on, like, your outside linebackers, edge rushers, whatever you want to call them, I think Max Crosby had the best overall year for playing the pass, playing the run. To me, he was the more complete player out of all those guys.
You could thank PFF for all this.
Yeah, exactly what it is.
Do you know that your Defensive Player of the Year had 1 sack in the last 7 games of the year?
Yeah. Nick Herbig had 2 over that same time period. One's the best player in the league, and the other is a rookie.
I'm going to continue with the Browns because they're a hot topic.
Yeah.
Again, I don't have any. Listen, I don't have beef with this team. I don't care about this team. They're nothing to me. They're nothing to Steeler fans. They never have, and they never will be.
No, they.
There was a brief time in the 80s where they seemed a bit relevant, but you know what?
Yeah.
It's been 37 years since then. And
yeah, ever since you screwed over Art Modell and he had to go to Baltimore to get what, you know, treated fairly, you know, this is what you get, Cleveland.
The defensive side of the ball, Mike, assistant coach of the year, Jim Schwartz. He won the assistant coach of the year award. That might be the only award that I think was truly deserved on this Cleveland Brown team.
Yeah, because technically they had
their defense
number
was
one
very
defense.
Good. They were, yeah. I mean, come on.
For yardage wise, they were the best defense in the NFL.
And listen to the tone of my voice. I'm speaking truth. When this guy deserves the award, I honestly will come out and I'll tell you, I have no problem. And I think that he deserved that because of what their defense was able to do this year. And their defense rode them through this whole entire thing. And it's not because of Myles Garrett. There's a lot. There's 10 other guys on that defense.
Yeah.
Myles played his role. But again, let's move on. Now, the offensive, the coach of the year. This was the big shocker to me.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. I didn't in a million years think that Kevin Stefanski was going to win the Coach of the Year award. And the fact that he did, I think, is absurd. Is there anything that he accomplished? Mike, here's what you got to remember at the end of the day. They accomplished nothing.
No.
The Browns accomplished nothing this season.
They didn't win a division.
They didn't win the division. They didn't win a playoff game.
Yeah.
They didn't set any records. They were one game better than an average Pittsburgh Steeler team.
Mm-hmm. And, like, this is the Browns team that, you know, like we said, for, like, the past how many off seasons have been the offseason champions. This is the Browns year. This is the
in
year
their
that
own
win
demented
the division.
Little
They're
world,
They're
going to
make a Super Bowl run.
What's the
they
word?
Can't.
You the Brown, like, preseason derangement syndrome they have.
Exactly.
Something.
Yeah, this – It makes no sense. I'm sorry, D'Amico Ryans or Dan Campbell. One of those two. Close your eyes,
easy.
Throw it at a dartboard. One of those
Dan
two.
Dan Campbell has this team in the NFC Championship round for one.
Yeah.
D'Amico Ryans, what he was able to do with that team.
That from worst to first in their division, from picking what, second overall in the draft to making it into the
you
second
know,
round
Stroud
of the
and Anderson has a lot to do with that. But, you know,
but,
at the
but,
end
you
of
know,
the day.
He had to coach that team up and get them there. And it,
but at the end of the day.
Him and Dan
you know,
Campbell were the two best. And like you said, this Browns team, which is supposed to be so much better than the Steelers, you know, Pittsburgh was supposed to be finishing in the basement of the league or in the division. It was like a 3-team race. This is Cleveland's year. And you finish what? They finished what? Second in the division and couldn't do anything. Yes, you had a quarterback injured. But hey, you know what? You found you had the number one defense, you had the best defense in the NFL. You should have done more. You should have found a way to win. No,
the argument,
found,
Mike,
Pittsburgh
an
found
argument.
A way to win with Duck Hodges. You can find a way to win in
Listen,
this league.
Somebody came forth with an argument, and I took it and I said, you know what? Let me explain to you. The person said to me, they said, well, the Cleveland Browns, they did what they did with 4 quarterbacks without their star running back, without a star offensive lineman. And I said, what did they do? Again, yeah.
What did they do?
They accomplished nothing. All they accomplished was not finishing behind the Steelers for the first time in four decades. And this is an accomplishment?
Yeah. And for them, it
is. What did they accomplish? There's no accomplishment.
No. Zero whatsoever. None. You know, finishing 11 and 6.
That's what makes me crazy.
Yeah. No, you still finished two games out of first. Still, you know, got dog walked in the playoffs.
Against a team full of rookies.
Yeah.
They accomplished nothing. That's the thing that bugs me the most.
Mm-hmm.
Is everyone is looking at this and saying, wow, the coach of the year, that's a pretty prestigious award. He must have did something amazing. What did he do? Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, it's like, you know, Andy Reid, I think, has won the award, what, one time in his career? He's one of the best coaches in the NFL history.
The guy's been to 100 championship games. He's won Super Bowls.
That's, you know, those are accomplishments, you know, like.
And the fact that you're digging down that low, Mike, and saying we're going to give it to this guy just because the Browns were better than usual stinks. I mean, that's what people are complaining about. That's why people hate what's going on, because it's unfair. And Cleveland people might say it's unfair because we never win. Well, you stink. Yeah. That's why you never get anything. That's why you never win. You shouldn't be awarded for stinking, and that's what's going on.
Yeah, last year they were 7-10. You turned it around, blah, blah, blah. The Texans were 3-13 last year, and what became a 10-win team this year. That's a bit more impressive. You know, Detroit Lions, they were 9-8 last year. You know, they a little bit of an improvement to this year. You know, they 12-5 when they won their division. Those two coaches won their divisions, improved their team. Cleveland finally played up to their potential, and that's what gets you coach of the year. Makes
something that every team does every year, you know, at any given time. They play up to their potential. Something that Cleveland hasn't been able to do in four decades.
Yeah.
So you got to give them an award. That is a participation trophy.
Yeah, that's the
equivalent of what it is.
Yeah.
These guys showed up finally to play football after 40 years. We got to give them a trophy.
Yeah. I don't get it.
D'Amico Ryans and also Kevin Stefanski, I believe they tied, but Stefanski had one more first place vote. They both had 165 votes for coach of the year, but it breaks down in first, second, third place votes. And someone snuck in a ballot somewhere and gave Stefanski an extra one, because I don't know how, with everything that has been said so far, everything that we've seen in the playoffs and this season, how these things came to fruition with these Cleveland Browns. I mean, come on.
They're a joke.
They are a joke.
They are a joke.
Guys, this one here, this award tells me that Cam Hayward isn't going to go anywhere anytime soon.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'm watching this last night, and I'm watching him give this heartfelt speech, and I'm thinking, well, everything that we talked about up to this point, well, it's not going to happen. He's not going anywhere. Even if he decides not to reconstruct his contract, he's not going anywhere. You can't get rid of Cam now.
No, he's like a cockroach.
He is
he is never going away. Because like a buddy at work said, he's like, Cam's coming back. He wants to wear that Walter Payton Man of the Year patch. He wants to have that on his jersey, have himself talked about every game about it. It's there and it goes. Tomlin voted for Stefanski.
Well, if that don't explain the bullshit in this whole thing.
I think that's what Cam wants. He wants to talk about the truth
of what Ron said on the board, Tomlin voted for Stefanski. If that doesn't explain this in a nutshell, but
I can see Tomlin doing that.
But again, as you said earlier on the board, you know, Dan Campbell did make a bunch of stupid coaching mistakes, but at the end of the day, he was able to get this lowly franchise, that's the Detroit Lions, to the NFC Championship. And I'm going to be honest with you, they probably should be in the Super Bowl. You know, had a couple things went the way they went last 2 weeks ago, I think that Detroit could very well be in the Super Bowl this week. Mm-hmm. And again, Cleveland, they basically showed up. That's what they accomplished. That's what Cleveland accomplished this year, was they finally showed up after almost four decades.
I give Cleveland, up. I give Cleveland credit. You know, they've done for years, for decades now, setting the bar so low that they actually tripped over it. And everyone in the league and the NFL media just applauded them for getting over the bar. So that they played the long game. We're going to set expectations so low, we trip, it looks like a success. And it worked out to their favor. That was actually a long play by them. That's a smart
Their
play. I
long-term
applaud them. I
plan
applaud
is
them
longer
and their
than
ineptitude.
most people's mortgages, but you know what? Hey, it
They was
worked.
just, oh
They
my
got their
Lord.
awards in 2024.
That's a great
Past
line about the mortgage, by the way.
I
Now
like
it's a
that.
damn good line. I
Heck
fucking
yeah.
hate you for that one.
So the award that the Walter Payton Man of the Year award. Congratulate. I do want to say congratulations, Cam. I do think if this was based on performance, it would be BS like a lot of these other awards.
Yes.
But you know what? The guy is an amazing
He
person.
is
At
a
the end of
great
the day,
humanitarian. He
I learned a
is.
lot last night just about what he does in general
Yeah.
for the community. And I say congratulations, sir. You deserve it.
He
You
does.
deserve to have that little patch on your jersey. Good job, Cam. He joins four other Steelers who have won this in the past, guys. Franco Harris, Mean Joe Green, Lynn Swann, and Jerome Bettis. They have all won this
Hey. We dominate
before.
that award and we dominate the NFL Defensive Player of the Year award.
And apparently the Angry Runner of the Year award
And
too
the
might be
ang he
a
the like Ron, or I think Ralph said the Golden Scepter.
yeah, the Golden Scepter. I don't know if you've seen the guy was running around with his scepter and that it was a whole
Yeah,
thing.
Kyle Brandt, I think, yeah, from the NFL Network, yeah.
It was a whole thing.
Angry Run might be my favorite award just
I like
because
it.
you know you get a fucking scepter. You should be able to run for that entire year. You should be able to carry that with you and just bludgeon defense, you know, defenders.
Yes.
I'm all for that.
Let me get into the Hall of Fame class that was introduced last night. A very deserving class, I'd
Very,
say.
very, very.
Not very
Most
well.
Steelers, but you know what? For what it is, because we are football fans overall, this was your 2024 class. For the hall, going into the Hall of Fame, Julius Peppers, guys. Julius Peppers,
Well deserved. Dude was a
well
freak of
deserved.
nature.
Devin Hester,
Best returner in the league ever.
Dwight Freeney,
Beast.
Andre Johnson,
Beast.
Patrick Willis,
Beast.
Steve Mongo McMichael,
Tragic.
and Randy Gratishire.
I had to do
So,
some research. Not gonna lie.
congratulations to the class of 2024 that is going to the Hall of Fame. Your bust will live on forever in Canton, Ohio.
Yeah, I wish Mongo could have won this years ago so he could actually make it there and, you know, be a part of the celebration.
Yeah, his
You know,
wife
with what
showed
he's
up
going through,
one
with
on his
what he's
behalf,
going through
so
right now, yeah. I think
but
he's still alive, so with ALS, correct?
I think so, yeah. I
Yeah,
think he's
I saw some videos. I was like, oh my God, I feel so bad for him. That dude was a beast. He was a beast in WCW. He should have made it just for that.
He was a part of that one particular group of four horsemen I recall with Ric Flair and Mongo
Yeah, I
McMichael
just
and
loved him
Arn
at the comment.
Anderson.
Like I, his little Chihuahua or little dog he had in WCW should get a bust in the NFL
So who would you say, Mike? I mean, I think the choice is obvious here, but who would you say was the biggest surprise in the award ceremony last year? Any that actually surprised you? Because I gotta say, I didn't, again, in a million years, I wouldn't have suspected that that Kevin Stefanski should have won the coach of the
Yeah,
year.
that one, like,
That one surprised me.
I kind of felt it though. Like we were saying, like, and I was reading online, it felt like it was like everything was leading towards the Browns getting awarded something this year.
Well, they got
Yeah,
everything,
they got
which is
everything.
queer because that doesn't even
Yeah,
add up.
I none of the awards really surprised me this year at all. Man, like I wish I could say yeah, I was surprised, but no. Because they kind of how we talked about a couple of weeks ago, they kind of fell where we thought they would. Like if someone wasn't going to win it, like who we would our second place guy, we had made a case for them. You know, it felt like everyone wanted Myles Garrett to win it this year, so he won it. And we'll see next year who that next guy is who hasn't won it yet. I'm saying right now, Micah Parsons or Max Crosby will be the two we will hear about all next year.
Yeah, and if that's the case,
Oh,
one of
okay.
those guys will win regardless of
Yeah.
who, you know, how the
Of
season
their
goes.
production. Yeah, their production could drop next year and they will win.
Which, you know,
it was scripted wrong. You're right. It feels that way now. I'm buying back into the scripting part of this.
Yes, Brian on the board. Good morning. And I also want to say we can feed Cam to the animals at the zoo.
See, now I feel bad picking on Cam today.
I do too. Damn it.
He finally won something in the NFL. Didn't win a defensive player of the year. Didn't win a team MVP. Didn't win a Super Bowl.
He won it, what he's good at.
Didn't win a playoff game, but he won something of doing well for the community and bringing spotlight to him. So that is.
And you didn't just make this up and give it to him because of who he was. This is what he's really good at.
Yeah.
Unlike. You know,
unlike performing well in the playoffs,
in the coaches of the year, in the comeback player of the year.
Yeah,
and again, I'm not picking on the Browns, even though it feels like I'm picking on the Browns. That's just how screwed up the award ceremony was this year. It was a very poorly awarded show. You mean to tell me that the Cleveland Browns deserve every freaking award and this team literally did nothing? They, again, one more time, I'm just going to put it out there. They accomplished nothing this season.
They finally played to expectations. And they
finally played an average season where they weren't the basement dwellers in the league.
Yeah.
So now you got to award them?
I don't get it.
You know, people say that. There's arguments, Ron. You know, I mean, all the way through the last two or three seasons, people throw that word around. And the reason that it's not being conspiracy, you know, people aren't slapping aluminum foil hats on these people is because it appears
it feels like it.
It feels like things are scripted, and it's disturbing. If this is the way that it's going to be moving forward, it is disturbing.
And it doesn't feel like it's coming from the league. It's like from the sports writers of who do we want to adopt this year as the MVP.
Maybe they should have a different way of the year voting
as the defensive player of the year.
Because
then,
listen,
like, then they
you
all
really
fall
feel
into that same thought.
You feel that Stefanski was the best coach. You feel that Myles Garrett was the best defensive player, and you feel that Joe Flacco, who sat on the couch for 2 months, was a better comeback story than a guy that died on an NFL football field,
or a guy whose knee blew out. You know,
he didn't die in a locker room. He didn't die in the facilities. You know,
They're 1-1 against us.
He fell. He died on the field during a game. They tried to resuscitate him. He died again. They hauled him off. You didn't know if the guy was going to get his life back. And this guy loses to an old Joe Flacco who sat on the couch for 4 months. It's unbelievable to me. Again, I'm not picking on the Browns. That's just the nature of the way things went and the nature of how much bullshit it was. Guys, there was many deserving people in this, and I'll be first to admit, most of these awards, I think, are right on the money, 100% right on the money. I think the MVP is always debatable.
Yeah.
But he had
why I like their offensive player of the year. That tends to be like someone outside of the quarterback usually wins that, and that's really might be the true MVP. That's where the real race is, because the MVP anymore is the quarterback trophy.
So let the PFF continue, Mike. Let the PFF continue to manipulate the way that you think about these players. Because if you would follow PFF all year, you would agree, Mike. Yeah. I think that you could agree that Myles Garrett widely deserved this award, and nobody else was even in the ballpark. So this PFF, look at the damage it's causing. They need a new system, guys. It's become corrupt, if you will. It's a corrupt system.
And a lot of sports writers now are relying on PFF. I'll follow
these
guys on Twitter, and they're quoting PFF advanced stats. Like, so what? You want your pass rush win rate is this. Okay, what does that translate into? Give me a tangible stat. Because if you can follow it up with a tangible stat on he had 56, you know, or he won 30% of his pass rush rates, it led to a sack, an incomplete, a forced fumble, a turnover, a forced throw out of bounds. Let me know, you know, what tangible it led to. Otherwise, it's just a number. Sacks are tangible. Tackles are tangible. Interceptions, forced fumbles, and touchdowns. Those are all tangible stats. We know what those mean. But a win rate, that's you scared the quarterback, like quarterback pressures. That's scaring a quarterback, because a pressure to Mahomes is different than a pressure to someone like
a pressure is a shit. A pressure is something that
Some quarterbacks like, oh, they play better when they're under duress.
And you see the NFL and these guys, they throw, you know, for the most part, they step into a hit, they throw the ball, and the pressure means nothing. Come on, guys. How ridiculous.
Whatsoever. Because we saw, like, we watched Ben be under pressure, guys falling off of him. He played his best under pressure. Now, someone like Tom Brady or Manning, they came under a lot of pressure. They weren't able to play in rhythm because they were rhythm quarterbacks. So that would affect them a little bit more than Ben. They were still great effect quarterbacks, but it would throw them off the game a little bit more than someone like Ben or Lamar Jackson, because they can create better under pressure. They can use their legs. They can use their entire skill sets. So let me know what that pressure leads to.
As exactly. If a pressure leads to nothing, then it's nothing.
Yeah, if pressure. We saw it like in the playoffs against the Browns. Stroud was under pressure sometimes, and he would, you know, sit there, hang in the pocket, complete a pass.
Oh, that pressure, that pressure.
That pressure actually helped. Exactly. It looked like the pressure made the play better.
Pressure is nothing. Pressure is just it's just a part of the game. As Ron said on the board, it's like, let's say that Ryan Shazier one day miraculously gets up and walks, throws on a uniform, and gets out there and plays, you know, and he loses the comeback player of the year. You see what I'm saying? Like, how skewed was this, this award ceremony, guys? What a dumb thing. And Joe Flacco, really, what did he do? He didn't.
Like, if you wanted to give someone who actually played more than a handful of snaps, Breece Hall was your guy. The running back from the Jets.
Like, there's a handful of guys that could have won it over Joe Flacco. I don't have the list here. But as I was putting this together, pretty much everybody on that list I thought was more deserving.
Yeah.
Because he came back from nothing.
He came back from the Jets. He came back from playing on the Jets.
He literally quit playing. What was the comeback? What did he come back from? He came back from nothing.
From being old.
He quit being retired, playing. There's no
from
comeback.
Being unemployed.
Brian says, I don't like them. I don't have a problem with the Browns. I think they're nothing, though. They're, again, what did they accomplish? They accomplished nothing. They accomplished as much as the Steelers did. They got as far as we did in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They managed to win one more game after 37 seasons than we did. And we're just an average team at best. I think most of us can admit that this season. But there you have it, guys. It was the Cleveland Browns barf fest last night. I do want to talk about some Steeler things, Mike, related to some awards. Central Catholic Peter Gonzalez, the son of former Steeler quarterback Pete Gonzalez, wins an NFL award for it's the inaugural NFL Latino Youth's Honor Award. So give it up for Peter Gonzalez. Nice award for him. Latino Youth's Honor Award. This is the first one. Also, the Steelers hire a couple coaches yesterday. Ooh, Zach Azzani. He will be the wide receivers coach. This guy was a New York Jets and the Denver Broncos assistant coaches at one point.
Yep.
Zach Azzani, Mike, will be the Steelers wide receiver coach moving forward.
And what I read about him, he's that type of coach. Like, he wants you to win at the line of scrimmage, wants you to be physical at the line of scrimmage. And when there's a run play, he wants you to block. So he, you know.
Just like, you know. Football 101. Somebody got to come in and teach these guys that are pros how to play football.
Win at the line. And like, you know, Deontay can win at the line, but let's see him be a little bit more physical in the run game and help George, you know, be more consistent and physical in the run game, because he can be physical in the run game. So I like that hire.
Also, Tom Arth. Tom Arce, he's now the passing game specialist coach. Came from the LA Chargers, and he was working with that great offense for the past couple years.
Justin Herbert and some of those receivers, they'd be cooking out there.
Well, Justin Herbert is a freak of nature. If we had Justin Herbert, I think okay.
He was also their quarterback coach out there. Now, I read conflicting reports, too, that he's coming as just the pass game coordinator as just the quarterback coach in a combination of the two. I know he's hired. I don't know the exact title. So I saw like three different titles for the guy.
What I have, Mike, is he is the passing game specialist. Mike Sullivan is going to continue to be the quarterback coach. We know that he went out and did some interviewing around the league. Mike Sullivan is going to continue to be the quarterback coach. So that is the news that I have with these assistant coaches under the Tomlin umbrella. Let's see if that makes any difference this year. Only time will tell. Zay Flowers for the Baltimore Ravens was involved in an alleged domestic assault.
Ooh.
So this is a rookie.
He's falling fast in the league.
Rookie Zay Flowers, you know, over in Baltimore, doing Baltimore things.
Right. You know, it's what happens when Ray Lewis and Ray Rice come around.
Also, Mike, remember the other day I talked about the connections between the 98 Broncos team and the 23-24 San Francisco Super Bowl team?
Yeah.
Both Super Bowl teams. There's even more. Of course, we talked about the Ed McCaffrey and the Christian McCaffrey. Ed being Christian's dad. He was a receiver on that Broncos team. Christian, of course, the running back for San Francisco. I believe the other one we talked about was Mike Shanahan being the head coach of that championship mm-hmm. team, and Kyle Shanahan being the coach of this San Francisco team. Brian Greasy was the backup quarterback on that Denver Bronco team. He is now the quarterback coach. And finally, Anthony Lynn, who was a running back on mm-hmm. that backup running back, he's the running back coach. So, you know, I'm not saying that the football gods are saying something here, but sometimes they do, and sometimes they leave us leave us crumbs to figure it out. You know, that's a lot of connections between these two particular teams.
The 30 years apart. You know, they put a lot of little Easter eggs in, like the Easter eggs. There's Easter eggs sprinkled about throughout this season. We should have picked up on this a long time ago. It's right there in our face, people, that it is scripted. I can't believe I bought the scripting.
And listen, I want everyone that's watching and listening to know that Mike is not one of these guys. He usually is the last one to bite into
really
a conspiracy
pragmatic,
theory.
But this one, it's, there's
me
too
and
much
him,
evidence.
Believe me, we butt heads more than anybody when it comes to conspiracy theory type things.
Yep.
And you know, the fact that he is actually saying this, it speaks volumes, guys. It really does. It really, truly, honestly does.
You guys have brought me into the fold.
You know, and I don't disagree. I agree with you 100%. Bobby Wagner, I don't know how he is not even mentioned at this point in the season for being somebody even associated with possibly being Defensive Player of the Year. Bobby Wagner, guys, year in, year out, this guy puts over 10 tackles mm-hmm. a game. You know, if he has 184 tackles, you only play, 17 games.
Yeah.
So that's over 10 tackles a game. Come mm-hmm. on.
Yeah.
Yes. TJ did have a very sexy number. 19 sacks is sexy as hell. But guys, come on! When you're talking football, and you've been watching football your whole life, you see a guy that's putting up 10 plus tackles a game, every game, game in, game out, no weeks off. He's not even mentioned in the conversation with these guys, and every guy that's mentioned is all that same position. That's one thing that should tell you another thing, guys. Yep. When it's that edge rush / outside linebacker, when every guy is from that position. If that don't tell you something, because why all of a sudden is that the most important position on the field? Because they could produce a sexy number.
Mm-hmm. That's really what it is.
And I said earlier in the show,
96 solo tackles.
And I said, Brian, earlier in the show, I don't know if you're wrong. I'm not saying that TJ Watt should have won. I feel that he, you know, again, he won the Deacon Jones sack award. He is the sack king. That's an accomplishment. Good for him. Great job, and let's keep doing it.
But his run defense was terrible this year.
His run defense was terrible. And when you're breaking down a defensive player of the year, you got to look at their whole game, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, you have to. Yeah, coach's game plan against him, against Miles, against Crosby, against Parsons, they all get game plan against. But for me, like, the most consistent, if you just want to say the edge rushers will be the ones who we give this award to now, Max Crosby was that guy. He was consistent run game. And affecting the passing game from, you know, 14 and a half sacks. I think he was more deserving than all those other outside linebackers and DNs. It wouldn't surprise me if next year he's that guy everyone talks about and he gets it. And then the year after that, it will be Micah Parsons.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
I'm going to submit my script.
We'll see who the PFF tells us it's going to be next year. Pay attention early and pay attention often because you will be able to tell who's going to win these awards roughly 10 to 15 weeks before the award show. I'm just putting it out there. It's not rocket science. Pay attention to what PFF is telling you, and you will be able to early figure out these award winners. You don't even have to watch the show.
No, what I hope kind of happens is Myles Garrett's PFF numbers drop, but his production actually increases to see how PFF will spin. Why, you know, he should be it, even though his numbers for their analytics are down. I want to see if that happens.
Again, guys, it is Super Bowl 58 Sunday. We are the eve of the Super Bowl. Guys, the San Francisco 49ers will be taking on the Kansas City Chiefs at in Las Vegas. It's Super Bowl 58 on Sunday. The game starts, they say 6:30, but you know, once they get started with the festivities. And so, but the big game, guys, Mike, for our picks on the Super Bowl, did pick Kansas City by a score of 28-22. Derpy, you picked the San Francisco 49ers by the score of 28-17. There is plenty of prop picks that we did yesterday between our Derpy and between Mike's five-year-old son. We're going to see how that all plays out when we come back and see if Derpy is, in fact, smarter than a five-year-old.
Derpy!
I can't wait to see the results of this, to be honest with you.
I don't know. If my kid picks any way I do against head-to-head and Derpy lately, I think Derpy's going to win.
Yeah, Derpy
owns you guys. On a little win streak at the end of the year.
He owns you guys, man.
He just keeps winning.
The Pittsburgh Penguins, they are in action tonight. They're traveling to Minnesota to play the Wild. That game is at 8 o'clock. The Penguins are 23-17-7. The Wild, finally, we're getting a team that has a less record than we have, Mike. It always seems like we're playing these teams that have 10 more wins than we do for some reason. Minnesota's 22-23-5. That game is tonight. Let's see if Sidney Crosby and company can keep this thing going.
They better, man. They need to stack wins. Stack wins. Get it going. Because, you know,
this is the last time. So, I mean, they got to get it going.
Exactly. You know, this is what they wanted. They all wanted the band back together. And you got to produce. There's no reinforcements coming. There's no big trade happening.
Mike, why don't you go tell everybody about the website?
TheTwoDumbYinzers.com. Over there, we got our social links. We got our merch store. We got the blog. A new one came up today about the NFL awards last night and how TJ Watt was snubbed.
All right. Go check it out, everybody. That's www.TheTwoDumbYinzers.com. www.TheTwoDumbYinzers.com. Mike does a lot of work over there. Go check it out, everybody. All right, let's get into this last Super Bowl trivia, guys. This is the last Super Bowl trivia of the year. We won't be doing this again for about another year. Derp, you got your thinking cap on?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Guys, this is the last Super Bowl trivia of the year. And it goes a little something like this. How many Super Bowls have been attended by a sitting U.S. president?
Ooh.
How many Super Bowls have been attended by a sitting U.S. president? Take a moment to think that over, guys. We are live, everybody. We're live 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, right here, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. every day. In a live show that we do every day, we upload at 8 o'clock p.m. over on Spotify and podcast form. If you'd rather listen to the show, maybe you don't have a chance to watch the show, you could always listen to it in podcast form over on Spotify. Go check it out. All right, guys, the question of the day is this. This is your last Super Bowl question of the year. The question is, how many Super Bowls have been attended by a sitting U.S. president? Guys on the board, you're welcome to play along. Mike, Derpy, I'm looking for how many Super Bowls have been attended by a sitting U.S. president? Mike, I'm going to start with you today. How many do you think? There was, how many presidents have there been now? About 40, 45, 46. We're on 46 now, aren't we?
Yeah. Let's go with
47. I don't know.
So we started at 60s. Protections, assassination attempts. Let me go with one.
One president, Mike says, has attended a Super Bowl. Is that your final answer,
I'm
Mike?
Going with one.
All right. Lock Mike into place. Mike says one president. Ron on the board is saying two sitting presidents have attended Super Bowls. Derpy, over to you. The question is,
Derpy,
how many Super Bowls have been attended by a sitting U.S. president? Mike says one. Ron on the board says two. What do you think?
I'm going to go one.
And you're going to go one as well. Is this your final answer, Derpy?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to lock Derpy in. Anybody else? Can I give you a second to put your answers on the board? Ron said two. Mike said one. Derpy also said one. And here we go.
Derpy!
How many Super Bowls have been attended by a sitting U.S. president? Guys, we have one. We have two. The answer is zero. A sitting president has never, not once, attended a Super Bowl.
You know what? Just like us, they can't afford tickets.
Right?
They get all their money after they embezzle everything, you know?
Yeah. So that's wild, though. Zero. No presidents.
That's crazy.
Presidents who have been out of office have attended, but never a sitting president. A sitting president has never attended. So that's cool. You learn something new every day.
You know what? Just like us, too. You know, it's better to just sit at home and watch the game.
Yeah, I agree. Derpy, you want listen, I got a couple extra minutes, and I wanted to make sure I have a couple extra minutes for Derpy. Derpy, you wanted to blow off steam. You wanted to come in here today and give a little rant about what went on last night. This the floor is yours. Tell us how you feel about what went down last night at the awards ceremony.
I feel that the NFL hates the Steelers. I feel that it's always been that way ever since Brady. This is the most disrespectful award that was given to Garrett, and it's very unfortunate that TJ Watt did not win it.
So you believe ultimately that TJ Watt should have won?
Yes.
Okay.
Apparently you have to break your sacks total or break the record again to win award.
Sure. I mean, the guy, here's the thing. The guy was a three-time sack champion so far, so the three-time sack king, and he's only won the award one time. So that's the thing. A lot of people were just automatically tying that all together, saying, well, he won this, so he should be the defensive player of the year. I think that's being misconstrued as well, because I don't think, you know, if you do have the most sacks, that automatically should qualify you to be the defensive player of the year. But again, I think there's other players.
Yeah.
Who could have been involved more as Max Crosby. This guy got mentioned very little this year, and his numbers were consistently high, as high or higher than everybody that was mentioned in the list, I believe. Max Crosby, I thought, was snubbed. If anybody was snubbed at that particular position, I would say Max Crosby. Outside of that position, I'm a Bobby Wagner. I believe heavily the Bobby Wagner should be recognized more for what he does. I believe he's also, if I'm not mistaken, he's also a Man of the Year award winner.
Man of the Year.
So, I mean, when you're talking about Bobby Wagner, he's just on a whole nother level. This guy, talking about a Rodney Dangerfield, getting no respect. And again, you can't count out the guys who get six or seven interceptions and how many of them are taken back for touchdowns. And
Five
pick sixes on how many interceptions, Mike?
Nine.
So come on.
Nine.
Is there a way to get him this offseason?
No, he's still under contract out there.
So there you go. I hope that we were able to give you a fair assessment, but also a assessment that's somewhat leaning toward, you know, our Steelers and everything. I think that I congratulate Najee Harris. I think that, you know what, that Angry Run Award, I think, was awesome. Good for you, my man. Congratulations. Yep. Cam Hayward with his Walter Payton Man of the Year. He nailed it. I couldn't have been more convinced that I wanted him to stay after he gave that speech. You know where we go with Cam Hayward every time that we have discussions about him. I was ready to, you know, send his ass packing to free up money, but I can't see him leaving at this point. You know, come on. It'd be weird if the Steelers got rid of him now. I'm just saying. Yeah. He will be around. I do want to say congratulations to all them guys. It was nice to see them out there. Even Coach T was down there to get to see the guys one more time before the football season is over, which is going to be here in about 2 days. So, guys, Super Bowl 58 coming up. Monday morning, we'll be back for the big episode 500. We'll be here to talk all about Super Bowl 58.
Oh,
I'm sure we'll have complaints. I'm sure we'll have rants. I'm sure we'll have things that we enjoyed. But nonetheless, we will be back on Monday morning to talk about all those things. Super Bowl 58, it's finally here, guys.
Can't wait.
Mike, you have anything to say before we get ready to take off?
No, I'm just ready for the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah, I do. If I was the owner of the Steelers, I would congratulate Cam on the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award and then say, hey, here's the new contract you're signing, or here's your walking papers.
Yeah, right.
Because you won the award for this, but you haven't won anything on the field, so... You know, you can go win this award elsewhere.
He could be a Cleveland Brown with those.
You can go, maybe he'll win. Maybe he'll win an individual award in Cleveland because they just hand them out up there now with the Browns.
Derpy, anything before we take off?
Yes. Should I do my AI thing?
No, I just don't. I don't think today's the day.
Not today, Derpy.
Not the mic one?
No.
Save that for the 500.
Yeah. Yes, that would be perfect.
Actually. Oh God, I can't wait to hear this one.
I got many of them. It's not even the mic one as well.
Yeah, just hold up because we are kind of way on our way out the door here, and that's a whole new bit. But I do want to say, hey, everybody, we do want to thank everybody for checking us out and hanging out with us all week long. We appreciate each and every one of you. We really do. We wouldn't do it without you. Everybody on the board, super awesome as always. Thank you for coming to hang out with us. Make everything interesting and help the show move along very smoothly. Anything else, guys? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
I got nothing, man. Thanks for everyone tuning in and watching, comment. Love it.
Absolutely.
I can't wait for Taylor Swift and Usher.
Well, as the president of the T-Swift fan club, of course you can.
Yes.
Yes, true. Indeed.
But hey, everybody, enjoy the Super Bowl 58. We only get this one time a year. Mm-hmm. Stay safe. Don't do anything stupid. Get your ass back here Monday morning. We'll talk some more football, guys. Everybody, for Mike in the Steelers Central Mobile Studio, Derpy, myself, the Two Dumb Yinzers, everybody have a great, great Super Bowl weekend. And we'll be back on Monday to do it all over again. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye-bye.
See you.
Oh, no.